If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, VSiN live from the NBA Summer League. Jonathan Von Tobel, happy to be joined by Amin El-Hassan. You've got a lot going on, so I don't have, like, Sluggy is SiriusXM, Sports Radio, NBA, NBA Radio. You've got Meadowlark Stuff, Basketball Illuminati, really good podcast I listen to as well, and Cinephobe, too. So you're a man of many talents. How's Vegas treating you so far?
Vegas is having its way with me. Yeah. As you can probably tell from my voice, it's just a little bit more of a gravel to it. Yeah. And, you know, some people might find that, like, dark and mysterious and swarthy. I just find it very inconvenient that since I have to speak for a living.
Right, yeah. No, I got you. So let me ask you this. So you when you were with the Suns, did they have Summer League at that time?
Yes, yes.
So I'm a Vegas native.
All right.
So from my perspective, watching this thing grow has been pretty incredible. From somebody inside NBA circles, where it started to where it's at right now, what's that been like?
Unbelievable. You know, I was telling the story the other day. In 2007, the NBA All-Star Game was in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And it was...
It went well.
Yeah, as you can tell by Jonathan's voice. It was a bleep show, right? And Vegas did not show its best face that weekend. How much? Some of that was Vegas's fault. A lot of it wasn't. It was just people from out of town, and they didn't know how to handle it. So I think the concept of NBA basketball in Las Vegas, immediately after, was like, hell no, never, never again. And what's happened in the 15 years since that weekend was, you know, really the growth of this event here in the summertime. And it's night and day.
Yeah.
It is now such a respected destination. We have Summer League here. We have the G League Showcase in the winter here. They have recently moved the rookie transition program, which used to be done like in August in New York. Now they do it here during Summer League. Vegas has done a complete 180 in the eyes of the NBA. And a lot of it is thanks to Albert Hall and Warren Legarry, who created this event and put this event here and run this event. They do a first-class operation every year. They make it grow. It's a little bigger. It's a little better. We had a little bit of a step back because of COVID.
Yep.
Last year, I remember telling people, this feels like 2010 all over again. It was smaller. It was kind of quieter. But, you know, Warren and Albert, those guys, they pushed the pedal to the metal, and here we are. This is just amazing what it's become, and I have a very close tie with Summer League, not only coming here as a team employee, but also obviously as a media member. Mm-hmm. But I worked for Summer League in summer 2012.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah,
I am a Summer League alum, and so that's why it's more personal than just it's a great time. I'm invested in seeing this thing be the marquee NBA event on the calendar, to be honest with you.
And so, like, a lot of people, like, there's, it attracts a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the other day, I was leaving, and I almost, like, physically ran into Lou Dort, and I almost died because the guy's huge. But you get a lot of guys who come in and travel, want to see the teams.
Yeah.
But Vegas is also a really underrated basketball town. Like, UNLV back in the day was really well-supported.
Yep.
I always tell people one of the premier offseason events was Kings-Lakers when they would come out here.
The preseason games. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is dope out here when it comes to basketball.
I think Kobe Bryant dunked on Ben Wallace here. It was at Thomas and Mack right here. No, this is a very, very big basketball town, as you said. The legacy of UNLV of Tark and the guys like Reggie Theus and Larry Johnson and even guys like, Lou Amundsen and Joel Anthony.
Amundsen's
like,
a good name, man.
Look, that's Vegas basketball, man. And beyond that, think about the AAU tournaments that are held here every summer. Think about all the college tournaments that are held here every spring. Like, this place loves basketball, man, unequivocally. And, you know, it's one of the things that makes this a great event and a great city to host this event because it's so embracing of the game.
So I want to get you pick your brain executive-wise because let's start with this event first. Mm-hmm. When you watch these games, you know, it's funny. So I'm a basketball nerd, so I'm watching. I'm like, man, I really enjoy this. This is great. The quality of play is not awesome. But from an executive standpoint, like, what are you looking for outside of, like, because I think we know, like, the rookies. Paolo Banchero is not playing the rest of the way. We saw he's really good. To me, the more intriguing pieces are, like, a Ty Washington for Houston, how he's going to pan out eventually. Andrew Nembhard for Indiana. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys who aren't really big names but had good combine showings or something like that and look like they could be quality pieces. What are executives watching in these games?
So, when you're talking about your own team, the first thing you're looking for is, you know, it's nice that Paolo Banchero, you know, scored 20 points a game or whatever it was and looked very effortless. I want to see that he knows what we're trying to do, right? Most of these guys have been in like a mini camp of about a week or so. We're introducing bare basic versions of our sets. You know, some of it is just literally generic NBA play calls like floppy, and fist up or whatever. But sometimes it's like, you know, this is a play that we actually run with the varsity team. We want to see you execute, learn and execute. Our terminology for, you know, different defensive coverages. We want to see you have some comfort and eloquence or
fluidity with it,
right? And then obviously your work ethic, how you interact with teammates, how you interact with staff. Like, you are on evaluation this whole time. And then once we talk about your play in the game, are you making the right plays? It's not did you score or made the big block. Are you making the right place? Were you in the right place in the right time? Did you get that block because you're supposed to be there or because you messed up somewhere else and now this is how you make it up? Same thing with scoring. You know, did you get the shots that you're going to get? Because here's the reality, and I use this example a lot. If I'm playing one-on-one on my 11-year-old and I score on my 11-year-old, win 21-0, no one's patting me on the back. But if I lose to my 11-year-old, people are going to ask you, what's going on,
right?
Same thing here. Like, Paolo Banchero, you scored 22 a game, whatever it is. Great. No one's writing a postcard home. Like, Paolo is amazing. And see what he did at Summer League? It's like, that's what you're supposed to do. But had you been completely outmatched and outgunned, that would have been a different story. And then finally, your year two players who aren't that many this year. Back in my day, we used to make our second year players play. You know,
some of them are killing it this year too.
So the ones who are playing, Giddy and Josh Christopher's
Quinn
playing.
Quinn Grimes has been awesome.
Grimes,
who's the
Moody?
Toronto Raptor kid, Delano Benton.
So those guys, we want to see you A, look comfortable out there. B, kind of show a little leadership.
Yeah.
Teach these younger guys, the next generation, how we do things, how we approach practice, how we approach, the game, our terminology, all these things of how you carry yourself. Hell, take them out. Take the young guys out to dinner on you because you're the vet. You've got your paycheck. Remember, those rookies, they don't get paid until October.
That's a good point,
Right now, they're still living on, like, cash advance and credit cards and all that. So this is the opportunity to learn how to be a leader. One thing I remember, I think the first Summer League where we did a tournament, the Warriors won it. Mm-hmm. And on that team was like Kent Bazemore and
did Draymond play?
Draymond Green absolutely played. And, you know, you could see the beginning, the seeds of this guy's going to be a leader one day. At the time, it's like, what, this second round pick was an undersized guy out of Michigan State who had an okay rookie year? Okay, yeah, but he had all those things, and he was doing those things out here on the floor. And I believe a lot of that stuff translates as you move on in your career.
See, and a lot of people will tell me, like, that doesn't really mean anything. But I think there's, like, kind of seeds planted, right? For example, I think it was 2 years ago, the Grizzlies won the Summer League. And that was, like, a really good core. And we see it now. Like, Brandon Clark, those guys have now translated to really good NBA players. And I think, like, those kind of things are important. I'm not running away from this and, like, betting guys to win Rookie of the Year and stuff. Right. But I think you see the seeds. Like, I think OKC in, like, 3 years, we're going to be talking about how good that core is when we look back on this.
Right. And you know, the opportunity to build chemistry and all those things. But the reality is, it's all what you make of it, right? If you as an organization say, oh, it's just summer league, I just want to see my guy go up there and get some shots up.
Yeah.
It can be that. But if you're someone who's invested in culture, you know, that's a buzzword, right? And doing things a certain way, whether it's at the NBA level, whether it's a G League affiliate level, whether it's a summer league level, right? We do it this way. This is how we do it. So wherever you go, it's not like, oh, no, now we have a different system or a different approach to these sort of things. If you can maintain that consistency, and obviously that needs consistency in who's running the show, consistency on who's coaching the show, like, and those faces around there. But it translates over, and you see it with, you know, Golden State. You see it with Memphis. You see it, I believe, the Cleveland Cavaliers now. Miami, all these places that do it the right way. They don't look at this as just a, you know, a 10-day trip in the desert. They look at it as an opportunity to get better as an organization.
Yep. All right, so I want to pick your brain on the big story of the offseason, obviously. Kevin Durant, all of that kind of stuff. But I wanted to approach it from this standpoint. First off, we get the report a couple of days ago of the asking price of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, isn't that bargaining, right? Like, don't you ask for the moon and then accept the stars, essentially, when you're talking about bargaining?
Right.
So there's this conversation of the price being watered down on Kevin Durant. Like, what do you make of that in terms, like, he's still one of the best players in the NBA.
Right.
He can still provide something. Is it the price is down on Kevin Durant, or is it teams are looking at the Nets like, you really don't have any leverage, guys?
Leverage is everything in this, right? So one of the things that's really screwed the Nets over was the Gobert trade.
Yeah.
Because if Gobert goes for five picks, when Durant must go for 500 picks in every player you've got, which is basically what they told Minnesota.
Give us your roster.
Yeah, give us your roster and we'll give you Kevin Durant. And If we're using the transitive properties, like from algebra, like if 2x equals 8, that means x equals 4 or whatever, that means 5x equals 20, right? If we're doing that, then yeah, Durant is worth that much because Gobert is worth that much to you. So Durant's worth way more than that. That wasn't them actually looking to get Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards and, you know, however many picks. That was them saying to the league, can I cuss?
Yeah, sure. We're recording.
Don't come to me with your bullshit offers.
Yeah.
Right? This is like them in, you know, the group chat of your fantasy football saying, hey, you want Brady? You got to give me your entire roster. And like, no? Okay, then don't call me that. Mm-hmm. Right? That's their stance. So they've got to let it out there that just because we look weakened and, you know, vulnerable, don't think that this is a time you can take advantage of us.
Yeah.
But the reality is they're not in a great situation in terms of getting fair value because Durant has dictated, he's got two teams, and you might point to, hey, he's got 4 years left on his deal. What can he do about it? But the reality is, if you're the incoming team or the accepting team, you're like, well, he can do what he exactly just did to Brooklyn,
right?
And throw my stuff into a tizzy. So why would I give up my two best young players and 600 picks or whatever to have the same situation happen to me a year later? Until Durant opens up his list to teams that actually have assets, not Phoenix, who are all types of messed up over that Ayton thing.
Yeah.
Not Miami, who, sorry, Tyler Hero's not enough for Kevin Durant.
I would agree with you right there.
Unless you open up to other teams, then it's going to be very difficult for Durant to find a new home, which I'm kind of feeling like, man, I think he might start the season in Brooklyn.
Really? So that's interesting because from a betting standpoint, right, some of the markets that have this up, Brooklyn has become the favorite for him to play his first game with them next year.
Right.
And it's not like overwhelming. I think like plus 300, something like that. But that has been kind of the case. And I think, and you could tell me more from an executive standpoint, this being the longest offseason that the NBA has had in a while now, it kind of helps things in terms of dragging it out, right? Because if you're the Nets, like, I got until October, man. Like, I can sit back and see whatever. And I would think if you're a team that thinks Kevin Durant is the piece that pushes you forward, well, by the time you get to, like, August, September, you're probably like, all right, we'll give you that. You know what I mean? Like, I would assume it helps Brooklyn a little bit.
Yeah, like, the closer we get to the start of the season, the more the kind of desperation. So that's what all NBA deals come down to. Who's more desperate to do this deal, right? Who's more desperate to do this deal? Who needs this more than anybody? Bradley Beal got a no-trade clause in his 5-year deal with the Wizards, right? Mm-hmm. He's a max player. No one argues that. 5 years, no one argues that. Did they have to give him a no-trade clause? Probably not. But guess what? They felt like, hey, he's been here. Since day one, he's always been about being here.
Yeah.
But the other thing is also, who would be more devastated about him not being there? Bradley Beal or you? And the reality is the Wizards would be more devastated. So right. What's it take? A no-trade clause for him to say yes? All right, give it to him.
Yep.
Why are we haggling over this thing? We're the more desperate party. The Nets need to create a market of desperate parties. And then they can play them off of one another. And then they can get more out of the deal. If you are a team that's interested in acquiring, the other thing about dragging it out is, presumably, given if the Nets give Durant permission to talk, these teams can make a pitch like, hey, man, like, consider us. Like, yeah. If you're Toronto, if you're New Orleans, like, we do have the assets. We can make a deal and still have a really good team with you afterwards. Give us a chance, man. Like, you know, I know we weren't one of your picks, but get us on the list.
So for me, and we'll get you out of here on this, for me, so before when all this started to come out, I bet Toronto win the finals of 50-1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, if there's a guy that can get Kevin Durant in a room and
right.
be like, bro, like, we can do this.
Yeah.
I think it's Masai Ujiri, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, they have a really good track record. They can draft and develop talent. And I think a lot of people, like, when it comes to that, my thought was, it's not just about next year, because a lot of people, especially in the betting world, it's just focused on what is this
right.
team going to look like next. But Ujiri's like, look, man, we got a track record of drafting and developing guys. You stick it out with us for 4 years, we'd be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference in the next few
right.
seasons.
Right. And you know, don't forget about the coach, Nick Nurse,
yep.
who was – my G League head coach when I was in Phoenix, our affiliate was in Iowa. Nick Nurse was our head coach.
So he's awesome.
He's one of the best coaches in the league. He's creative and really has an open mind about things. And they've got a great staff. It's not just Masai over there. Yeah. It's Bobby Webster. It's my guy, Patrick. It's Teresa Resch. It's all, like, they've got a great staff that does a hell of a job scouting globally, developing talent, and finding talent wherever it is, whether it's in the draft, whether it's down the road at the 905, their G League affiliate. They find talent, they develop talent, and then they make that talent play. It's not dissimilar to what they do down in Miami. The difference is these guys have assets that they can afford to give up, and Miami doesn't really have enough.
Yep. Amino Hassan again, if I get them all right. SiriusXM NBA, Basketball Illuminati.
Yep.
And
Cinephobe.
Right,
yes,
Cinephobe.
Absolutely.
What do you do on that pod, by the way?
Oh, we watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or maybe, just maybe, they didn't get a fair shake. It's me, it's Zach Harper. It's produced by Anthony Mays. You get it wherever you get podcasts. And right now we're in the middle of Alien Month.
Okay.
So this week, Thursday, dropped a new episode, Battleship.
Starring
Rihanna.
Yep.
My guy, Liam Neeson. No. Taylor Kitsch, the dude from True Blood, whose name is Alex Skarsgård. That's his name, yeah. It's a terrible movie, but it's a great podcast episode.
Dope. Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
No problem.